सर्वोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्णा। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 52। चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड रुक्मिणी इज मैसेज टू कृष्णा। टेक्स्ट नंबर 26 थ्रू 30। टेक्स्ट 26। तदवेत्यासितापांगी वैदर्भी दुर्मनाभृशम् विचिन्त्याप्तं द्विजं कञ्चित् कृष्णाय प्राहिणोद्रुतम्। तदवेत्यासितापांगी वैदर्भी दुर्मनाभृशम् विचिन्त्याप्तं द्विजं कञ्चित् कृष्णाय प्राहिणोद्रुतम्। तदवेत्यासितापांगी वैदर्भी दुर्मनाभृशम् विचिन्त्याप्तं द्विजं कञ्चित् कृष्णाय प्राहिणोद्रुतम्। चिन्त्याप्तं द्विजं कञ्चित् कृष्णाय प्राहिणोद्रुतम्। वैदर्भी दुर्मनाभृशम् विचिन्त्याप्तं द्विजं कञ्चित् कृष्णाय प्राहिणोद्रुतम्। तदवेत्यासितापांगी वैदर्भी दुर्मनाभृशम् विचिन्त्याप्तं द्विजं कञ्चित् कृष्णाय प्राहिणोद्रुतम्। मातजीस् तदवेत्यासितापांगी वैदर्भी दुर्मनाभृशम् विचिन्त्याप्तं द्विजं कञ्चित् कृष्णाय प्राहिणोद्रुतम्। ट्रांसलेशन बाय डिसाइपल्स ऑफ श्रीला प्रभुपाद। डार्क आइड वैदर्भी वॉज अवेयर ऑफ दिस प्लान एंड इट डीपली अपसेट हर। एनालाइजिंग द सिचुएशन she quickly sent a trustworthy brahmana to krishna। Text 27 dwarakamsa samabhetya pratiharai praveshitai apashyadadyam purusham asinam kanchanasane। Upon reaching dwarka the brahmana was brought inside by the gatekeepers and saw the primeval personality of godhead sitting on a golden throne। drishtva brahmanya devastam अवरुह्य निजासनात् उपवेश्यार्हयाम् चक्रे यथात्मानम् दिवौकसा। सीइंग द ब्राह्मणा श्री कृष्णा लॉर्ड ऑफ द ब्राह्मणास केम डाउन फ्रॉम हिज थ्रोन एंड सीटेड हिम। देन द लॉर्ड वर्शिप्ड हिम जस्ट एज ही हिमसेल्फ इज वर्शिप्ड बाय द डेमिगॉड्स। तम भुक्तवंतम विश्रांतम उपगम्य सताम गति पाणिनाभिमृशम पादावव्यग्रस्तम अपृच्छत। After the Brahmana had eaten and rested, Shri Krishna, the goal of sainted devotees, came forward. And while massaging the Brahmana's feet with his own hands, he patiently questioned him as follows. Text 30. Kachidvijavarashreshtha dharmaste vriddha sammata vartate nati krichrena santushta manasasada. The Supreme Lord said, O best of exalted Brahmanas, Are your religious practices sanctioned by senior authorities, proceeding without great difficulty? Is your mind always fully satisfied? Purport. Here we have translated the word dharma as religious practice, although this does not fully convey the Sanskrit sense of the word. Krishna did not appear within a secular society. The people in Vedic times could hardly imagine a society that did not understand the need to obey God's law. Thus to them, the word dharma conveyed a sense of duty in general, higher principles, prescribed duty and so on. It was automatically understood that such duties were within a religious context. But religion in those days was not a specific aspect or department of life, but rather a guiding light for all activities. Irreligious life was considered demoniac, and God's hand was seen in everything. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadatiswa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So before I begin, I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees here. So here we are in the section of Rukmini and Krishna. Rukmini is attempting to send a Brahmana to Dwarka to deliver her message, because Rukmini has arranged to get her married to Shishupal, and Rukmini doesn't want to marry him. So here the dark-eyed Vaidarbhi was aware of this plan and deeply upset her. Analyzing the situation, she quickly sent a trustworthy Brahmana. So, our acharyas explain how we draw an analogy out of this situation where Rukmini is representing us living entities, and we are trapped in this material condition. The difference is Rukmini is an intelligent living entity who understands how she is trapped in the situation and surrounded by all kinds of anarthas and deadly senses. Rukmini is representing the conditioned mind, polluted by various desires, various anarthas. And Shishupal and other allies of Shishupal are representing the senses and different impurities. Usually the conditioned soul is unaware of the precarious situation he is trapped in. But here Rukmini is quite aware, and she understands the urgency of the situation and the need to get out of that situation and take shelter of Krishna. Rukmini is that conditioned mind that does not listen to any amount of good advice. So Bhishmaka and so many other kings and Rukmini's other brothers wanted her to get married to Krishna. But Rukmini, because he was so envious of Krishna and he was such a very good friend of Shishupal, he had decided that Rukmini should marry Shishupal. Mostly it was based on envy towards Krishna, which is the basic disease of all living entities. They have envy towards Krishna. So Rukmini is that conditioned mind. Despite any amount of good advice, it won't listen to that advice. And it has decided that the soul has to suffer. It will drag the soul to a miserable condition. Chaitanya Charitamrita recently sent an article for Back to God. He wrote an article called Mind Your Mind, where he describes, he compares, gives two analogies for the mind, conditioned mind. First, the common example that we give, how the body is compared to a computer. The body is the hardware and the mind is the software, and the living entity is the user operating the machine. So many programs have been installed on that software that has become the default program. So many viruses have entered, so many impurities have entered. That has now become the default program of that software. So it is not able to function as it is supposed to function. The viruses have taken control over the machine, and the hardware is not working according to the desires of the user. So therefore we need to purify that mind and release it from the conditions. Another example he gives with that Prabhupada gives, body and car and body, comparison of the body and car with the car. But here he says the soul is the driver and mind is a person sitting very close to the driver. Now the difference between conditioned living entity and the liberated living entity is the driver is fully independent and he can drive the vehicle as he wants, turn left, turn right according to his desire. But in this case of a conditioned living entity, the mind is extremely powerful and it is misdirected. So mind, imagine you are driving the car, steering wheel is in your hands, and close by, right next to you, is a person who is constantly shouting, come on, take left, take right, don't take left, don't take right, stop here. He's shouting at you, right in your voice, in your ears. So we are distracted. We are wondering whether to listen to him, whether to follow the direction in front. And so we want to go straight, but then he's shouting, take left, take left. And stop here, enjoy this, enjoy that. So, he says, mind can constantly impel you, but cannot compel you. It cannot force you. It cannot throw you out of the driver's seat and take the position of the driver. It will always remain right next to you. But it will act in such a way that you feel he is the controller of the vehicle. And he is in charge of the vehicle. So therefore, it constantly pushes you and forces you to do certain things. So if we are weak without a strong intelligence, then we will succumb to those demands offered by the mind. And we will be misdirected and our condition will become miserable. So here Rukmini has very short amount of time. Few hours left before the marriage time, and she has sent the messenger there to Krishna, and she is hoping, anticipating eagerly that Krishna will come and save her. So we as living entity, our first need is to become aware of our danger situation, that I am trapped along with a conditioned mind, and this mind can Rukmini can destroy my life if I don't act immediately. So awareness, and we need to act quickly without delaying any amount. So as soon as any impure thought, any impure desire
pops up in our mind, we need to act immediately. Immediate action is needed. Chanting the holy name, whatever the standard actions that we follow, that action needs to be done, and that desire has to be terminated quickly, as quickly as possible. Otherwise, Rukmi will get Rukmini married to Shishupal. The mind, the soul will be dragged to a miserable condition. So here we find in the purport, it is written how dharma or the religious practice, it is used as a religious practice, the duties, not the definition that Prabhupada gives, the eternal constitutional function of the soul. Here the dharma, the word dharma denotes the standard religious practices that people follow. So we have this four yugas, Satya Yuga, Trita, Dwapar and Kali. Satya Yuga religion is prominent. 100% of the population is thoroughly religious. The only mode existing is the mode of goodness. It's as good as the spiritual world, but still within the, under the influence of the modes. Treta Yuga, mode of passion begins, and ulterior motives start manifesting in people's minds. Dwapar Yuga begins, mode of ignorance starts coming in. Greed, envy, anger, all these qualities become manifest. And Kali Yuga is completely full of the mode of ignorance. The vice, the bad qualities start entering, enter in Treta Yuga, spreads in Dwapar Yuga, and it saturates Kali Yuga. Slowly, gradually. This is Dwapar Yuga. Envy and greed is quite prominent. The mode of passion and ignorance is prominent. So in secular society, as the purport says, Krishna did not appear within a secular society. In a secular society, there are these two things, fanaticism and secularism. These are two dangerous and defective approaches towards religion. Both are two extremes. Both are dangerous. It can destroy the essence of religion. Again, Chaitanya Charitamrita, again, I think he wrote an article. He says, exclusivism is fanaticism. Where someone takes religious practices too fanatically, focuses only on the details, the mode of worship, and the practices of that particular followers of religion, and that becomes the dominant force of defining one's religion. So I may worship I may follow a certain ritual, I may follow a certain practice, and that becomes the defining principle of my religious identity. And anyone who does not follow that, he is non-bona fide. He has to be destroyed. That is fanatical approach. Most of the Western religious people, religions nowadays that we find here in today's times, is mostly based on the fanatical approach of religion. Anyone who does not follow my God, does not follow my practice, doesn't wear the dress that I wear, doesn't eat the way we eat, is a non-bona fide member. A fanatical approach. Exclusivist. Anything beyond, outside this boundary is non-bona fide. Incorrect and wrong. And the other extreme that we find in Indian society today, it's called pluralistic. Where anything and everything that we follow is bona fide. Ultimately, God is one and everything is leading to God. Every path leads to God. Every belief is bona fide. Everything is acceptable. It's like saying, there are so many colleges, there are so many buildings, every building is a college. You go to any college, get admitted, study there, and you will get a degree. So, both are extremes. This is because we don't understand the real principle behind what religion is, what the essence of religion is, and then either we fluctuate between these two extremes. So therefore, that balanced approach is to understand that all religions are there, the essence of all religion is the same, but the details are different. Practices are different, details are different, and how you express our love for God, love for divinity, that will vary. And there has to be different standards of evaluating one's devotion and love for the Supreme. So, it is foolish to conclude that everything is ultimately one. That's what Prabhupada was heavily against. Mayavada and impersonal philosophy declares that everything is one. Everything, every path is leading you to that superior destination, supreme destination. And therefore, that's the main cause behind the degradation of Indian society. Everyone was accepted without any proper discrimination of what is bona fide, what is wrong, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. And everyone was welcome in the name of broad-mindedness. And people who are invading, they are the exclusivist people, totally fanatics. Ours is the only goal, ours is the only path. And then both were a nice combination for the destruction of the cultural roots that India had for so many thousands of years. So therefore, we need to be, we need to have the proper discrimination of what is that boundary line which will accept, which will understand the essence and respect the details of other religious practices. Otherwise, we will be caught up in this confusion of what is right and what is wrong. So this, here Krishna is asking the Brahmana, are your religious practices sanctioned by senior authorities? Proceeding without difficulty? Is your mind always satisfied? In the Bhagavatam we find this description of how the Virat Rupa, where the Virat Rupa is described, Brahmanas are representing the, Brahmanas are born out of the head of the Virat Rupa, Kshatriyas on the arms, Vaishyas on the belly, and Shudras on the legs. And in the Varnashram society we find how Brahmanas are the head of the society, Kshatriyas are the arms, Vaishyas are the belly, and Shudras are the legs. So Brahmanas' religious sacrifice is the prime duty for the Brahminical class. And that is an essential part of any balanced, harmonious society. Sacrifice and expressing gratitude towards the authorities, towards the demigods, and to Lord Vishnu. This gratitude and gratitude has to be expressed by some class of people. Because we are drawing out so many things from the demigods, so many resources from the demigods. Someone has to represent the society and express that gratitude in the form of performance of sacrifices. If that is not there, then we find the current situation where everything is in chaos. So Brahmanas are the people who perform the sacrifices, and Prabhupada writes in that purport how by feeding the Brahminical class who represent the mouth of Lord Vishnu, we are actually satisfying Lord Vishnu. So that's the way of worshipping Lord Vishnu. So in an ideal society where proper Daivi Varanashram system is followed, we should have austere Brahmanas. Shaman Prabhu makes this point in his class. Austere Brahmanas are the leaders of the society. And the Kshatriyas are supposed to be extremely heroic, chivalrous. Vaishyas must be extremely charitable. Their main occupation is engaging in trade and commerce and business. So they earn money, wealth, but they must be having a charitable disposition. And Shudras must be very loyal and obedient to all the three higher classes. So, this is an ideal society. But in corrupted society where this system is not properly practiced. We have, instead of austere Brahmanas, we have Brahmanas who are extremely arrogant, proud of their social position, proud of their knowledge, proud of their powers, and then they misuse those powers for their own exploitation, for their own sense enjoyment. And Prabhupada writes how Sringi was the first incident. Sringi cursing Parikshit was the beginning of Kali Yuga, where Brahmanas started abusing their Brahminical powers. And Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas are supposed to be heroic and chivalrous. Whenever there is a battle, they are supposed to lead it from the front. But in modern times, they are power-hungry Kshatriyas. Eager to occupy administrative posts and exploit the position and exploit the people. Prabhupada makes a very nice statement. He says, the Brahmanas are traditionally intelligent men, and thus they will be able to pick up modern education to the topmost level. But as far as moral and religious principles are concerned, they shall be the most fallen. So their samskaras and samskaras enable them to appreciate and understand education very nicely. They will go to the top position of modern education. But because they are not following the principles, they are morally and in their habits, they will be extremely fallen. Education and bad character go ill together. But such things will run parallel in Kali Yuga. The administrative heads as a class will condemn the tenets of Vedic wisdom and will prefer to conduct a so-called secular state. And the so-called educated Brahmanas will be purchased by such unscrupulous administrators. Even a philosopher and writer of many books on religious principles may also accept an exalted post in a government which denies all the moral codes of the Shastras. The Brahmanas are specifically restricted from accepting such service, but in this age they will not only accept service, but they will do so even if it is of the meanest quality. These are some of the symptoms of the age of Kali, which are harmful to the general welfare of human society. So that people who are supposed to represent the head will fall down to the lowest position and degrade the whole society. And Kshatriyas are abusing powers. Few years they are in their post and they know they will be kicked out at any time. They want to exploit and abuse and loot the people as much as possible. Vaishyas are extremely greedy in Kali Yuga. Instead of being charitable, they become extremely greedy. They hoard wealth as much as possible. It is said, the top three richest people in the world possess more financial assets than the lowest 48 nations combined. Top three richest people. Their combined wealth is more than 48 nations, lowest 48 nations combined. And top 1% owns nearly half of the world's wealth. 50% of the world's wealth. So, although the number of billionaires and millionaires may be increasing, but the gap between the poor and the rich is also increasing. Number of increasing billionaires doesn't represent that the society is advancing economically. It is actually degrading. And Shudras, who are supposed to be loyal and obedient, in this age they become extremely rebellious and non-cooperative. That is a symptom of Kali Yuga. Age of quarrel and hypocrisy, age of non-cooperation and rebellion. That is Kali, age of Kali. So everyone will feel that I am a victim of injustice. In any community, in a society, in any establishment, in a country, in a state, the minority will always feel I am exploited. Although which is true many times, but even when it is not true, that tendency to feel I am a victim is there. And that becomes an excuse to rebel and stop the cooperation. So in a family, children, smaller children will feel the seniors are, elder children are, elder brothers and sisters are exploiting. In a community we feel the people who are in the lower rungs of the management, they feel they are exploited by the management team. In a country, some smaller states feel we are exploited by the bigger states. Even in political parties we find some smaller regional parties feel they are exploited by the bigger region, bigger parties. Smaller countries feel exploited by bigger, more powerful countries. So tendency to feel exploited and rejected leads to rebellion and non-cooperation. And that causes conflict and fights over silly things. So with that, the Devi Varnashram system is the system where everything is working smoothly. All four Varnas understand their position in society, and no one exploits their position and cooperates. Prabhupada gives a standard example of a body, everyone putting food to the stomach, and all organs, all senses cooperating with the stomach or the root of the tree. Every part is nourished. So similarly, if Krishna or Vishnu is the center of society, devotional service is the goal of the focus of the society, then even if someone is in a higher position in Varnashram, no one feels threatened and exploited. Everyone understands I am just performing my occupational duty, and even if I am in a relatively lower position, that is not a sign of getting exploited. Ultimately, I am contributing to the development of society and we are all moving forward. So that's one of Prabhupada's unfinished projects. He said 50% is complete, 50% is still remaining. So irreligious life, in this purport says, was considered demoniac. Dwapar Yuga is the time when, till Dwapar Yuga, we have everyone accepting Vishnu supremacy, Krishna supremacy. And God, the role of God is predominant in everyone's action. That understanding that someone is observing me, overseeing my activities, and I am accountable for my actions, that feeling is predominant in everyone. So whenever someone does something wrong, he feels someone is observing me, I am accountable. So I cannot go beyond a certain limit. And God's hand was seen in everything. So Rukmini's message is, so living entity and the Brahmana is representing the spiritual master who takes the message of the living entity to Krishna and gets back Krishna's message to the living entity. So Brahmana here represents that spiritual, bona fide, transparent via medium who connects the living entity to Krishna. In the Chaitanya Lila, Rukmini comes as Gadadhar Pandit. And just as we find a few chapters later, how Krishna teases Rukmini, Krishna is trying to provoke Rukmini to say something harsh and make her angry. Similarly, in Chaitanya Lila, we also find Lord Chaitanya trying to provoke Gadadhar Pandit. And when that meeting was there with Vallabh Bhatt, the story appears in the Antalila, when Vallabh Bhatt and Gadadhar Pandit are associating, so Lord Chaitanya refuses to see him. And Gadadhar Pandit feels extremely pained that Lord Chaitanya has rejected. But he doesn't say anything. He never complains, he never argues, just like Rukmini's mood. Finally, when everything was settled and Vallabh Bhatt became a devotee, and Lord Chaitanya called up Gadadhar Pandit, said, so I tried to provoke you so many times, but then you never got provoked, you never got angry. And Gadadhar Pandit, in the mood of Rukmini, says, oh, you are the independent supreme lord, what can I say, I am just your humble servant. So I'll stop here. Any questions, any comments?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Bhuji. We are making this point about extreme behavior, fanatic, and then on the other extreme is secular. So this fanatic things, this extremist, even outside world, they clearly understand. Any intelligent person, they know, like, it's really, no one opt for it. But this secular thing is very sensitive, because even we as a devotees, many times when we go out, we preach, we meet people, we don't portray directly as Krishna conscious. We go like really indirect ways and so many things. And even outside world, if you present direct things, So how, I mean, it's, now we are discussing amongst devotees, it's okay, we understand secular is not that good, but how do you actually deal with it? Because it's not, it's really a sensitive thing. You cannot just openly speak something or, so.
As far as I understand, we need that bridge thing every time. Directly presenting Krishna consciousness and interacting with people who are non-devotees. If they are not in a position to appreciate direct pure devotional service, then we need some bridge that will connect the two. If that is not enough, still the gap is more, we need one more bridge. The gap is still more, one more bridge. The people are not ready to accept. So depending on that person's audience's level, to what, how much jump he can take, to that degree we have to reduce the gap between that thing. So our projects like Bhaktivedanta Hospital is a bridge, right? Not everyone is come to a temple, start chanting and dancing. So, okay, some social service people will appreciate. Midday meal, it's all a bridge thing. Prasadam is a good connecting link. They may not appreciate the divinity of prasadam, but at least they will understand, okay, food is there. In that way, you bring them closer. So once enough sukriti is accumulated in their heart, they may be able to take the next jump. So it is the preacher's discrimination to what degree we can.
What is the, I mean, my question is then, what kind of secularity we are against of? I mean, look, what we are just, you know, speaking so much against about. So what is that kind of secularity?
Secularism, we are against that principle where ideally secularism means you respect, allow all religions to function in a society, allow everyone to follow their religious principle. Modern secularism is where you don't allow anything. Both appear to be same. In the name of secularism, we are actually choking up practices of religious principles. So Prabhupada says, a country may be, say, following particular state religion, but if other religious people are there in the society, you allow them, give the religious freedom to practice their principles. But otherwise, in India is a typical, I think, the only secular country where the majority religion is suppressed and other religions are encouraged. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Ganthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.